Channeling Spirit Virtual Summit, a platform where we have invited Spirit to share messages, healings, and transmissions with all of us. May this energetic experience help us to expand our awareness and to deepen the relationship we have with our higher self, our spiritual team, and with Source, however we define them. Thank you for being here and for taking part in this amazing journey. So welcome to the Channeling Spirit Virtual Summit once again. My name is Daniel Martinez Stahl, and with me for this very last episode of season one is Samuel Thomas Holland. As I was just mentioning before the recording started, Samuel is part of my practice group. He is someone that I've been exploring spirit with for almost a year now, if not a little bit. It's been about that time.
Time was flying, definitely.
I know, right? And so I was excited to have him agree to speak with us. Now, Samuel has and I'll let him kind of talk about himself, but I just want to bring this up. Samuel has this incredible ability to integrate his channeling connections through all of his work. So when he's doing tarot readings or when he's doing anything else, when he's engaging with people, he's constantly getting flooded by their higher self, their spirit team, his own spirit team, with information that supports the work that he does. He integrates his channeling into everything that he does in a beautiful way. But I'll let him talk about himself. So if Samuel, if you can kind of introduce yourself to us a little bit, and then we can kind of take it from there.
Good morning, everyone, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Samuel Thomas Holland. I am the owner and CEO, if you want to put a label on it, of the spiritual tarot reading and channeling company called The Oracle and the Reflection. I specialize in both channeling, trance channeling, Reiki healing now as well, but predominantly relearning palmistry and also doing my unique way of tarot reading as well, which incorporates the channeling aspect as well as the tarot cards themselves.
And can you talk a little bit about what you mean by relearning palmistry? Because I think that that's specific choice of word.
Yes. My past life with the clairvoyant Nostradamus as my mentor way back when has given me insight to the use of pendulums, Ouija boards, and tarot, but also through meditation, my relearning of palmistry is slowly coming back to me, there is a lot of elements to palmistry.
And that's beautiful. Yeah, and the reason that I wanted to highlight this is because a lot of us that are learning to go into this connection with ourselves and with spirit, when we start playing in the space, we start recognizing that this isn't anything new for us. And someone else has mentioned that all of the lives that we have lived that are living, depending on how you view things, that are related to this life have helped prepare us for this existence right now and are preparing us for this existence right now. And so there's a relationship between our alternate lives and this life. And so what Samuel is referring to in terms of relearning palmistry is that this is a skill that he already knows. And it's just a question of remembering it at his level as Samuel. And so I love that as kind of a reminder that all we're doing is remembering. We're not learning anything new. We're just remembering who we are and what we know. And so I love that reminder. Thank you for that.
Definitely. And staying on that topic, it's interesting how even the arts, as we will get into with the music today, can jog the memory of a cognitive and also subconscious mind as well. As I saw a movie yesterday about the life of Molly Johnson by the famous Henry Lawson, Australian poet. and called The Drover's Wife. And through that funneling, when I was in meditation last night, there was glimpses, visions of Indigenous past lives as well with me that I'd never fathomed before. But after seeing that such prolific artwork, that also just resonated with the frequencies of what was on screen, but also then what then comes back to you, which you know is past life through your own experience of viewing past lives in for your own consciousness as well. Yeah. So it's very interesting how the Indigenous side of Australia is so much more spiritual than the, dare I say it, the white man that we incarnate into to try and learn from at the same time. But then it always stems back. Yes. But,
I forget the name of the video. It's a documentary, a spiritual documentary, that was talking about a lot of the shifts that are going on. I think it was done a couple of years ago. But they were, throughout the documentary, they were talking about how there's going to be a big push in our collective to go back to the ancient knowledge, to go back to these Indigenous people that still hold on to this knowledge and to relearn from them, which is interesting that you're bringing that up.
Most definitely, because even through our channeling with yourself, me, and the group, I've already had, and I think maybe you and other members of the group might have experienced the Native American aspect of a chieftain-like spirit coming forward and not saying anything much, but just you knew something was up, you knew something was being transferred in knowledge whenever he stepped forward. But at the same time, it was almost a balance of the masculine and the feminine energy. And the Kiara is saying something.
Kiara just put that, considering that in Europe we were burned at the stake if they thought you were a witch, it's no wonder the whole spirituality outside religion was cut off completely. Yeah, and unfortunately that was a lot of the intention of a lot of those things was to shut things down out of fear and control and power. But that is shifting. That hopefully sooner rather than later. But that is shifting.
Definitely is.
That is shifting. And so I wanted to, of course, I love kind of going into allowing you to channel whatever energy wants to come through. And we can definitely do that later on. But I wanted to have a little bit more of a conversation with you about, given that this is the inaugural season of channeling and there's people that are listening to this that aren't familiar with channeling, both you and I and the rest of our practice group went through Jamie Butler. I know others that are listening and watching live also are familiar with Jamie Butler and have trained with her as well. I love her to death. I don't know why I keep on saying to death. I love her to pieces. She's amazing. I cannot encourage people enough to reach out to her. JamieButlerMedium.com is her website. We all trained with her. She offers a 12-week program learning how to trans-channel and walks you through various elements that are supporting the channeling, though one wouldn't necessarily think that it's related or connected, in a beautiful, systematic, and a progressive development throughout the journey. So I would highly recommend it. But having said that, I would love to have you talk to us, Samuel, about your journey in terms of how you started connecting with spirit and how that has developed and evolved for you.
Sure, definitely, because it's been a wild, almost roller coaster ride of going through lessons with earthbound spirits due to my vibration being low in the pandemic and allowing energies that I would not normally allow into myself and then having to find myself in a way to actually get out of that lesson as it was a lesson within itself, even though at the time it felt very dense, very sickening in a way. It was very, very much systemic of past life and also just the where the vibration of the collective was lying at the present moment. I think as I now know, connecting way too much to the collective with my security guard work. And that was not to my benefit because at that time I had not learned how to transfer my energy from a collective telepathy and back into my own. So I knew where my energies were and where someone else's was, where I was taking on someone else's, dare I say it, bullshit, compared to knowing who and where I needed to be in the present moment, where I do now, thanks to those lessons.
Yeah, and you bring up a really good point, you know, this idea that the struggles and the, and this was brought up by somebody else as well in a different way, but I'm going to kind of connect the dots. When we have a challenge in our lives, a lot of times we forget to look for what is this here to teach me? Why is this for me? And this is something that I hear often, is that nothing happens to us, everything happens for us. And when we begin to shift our relationship with our experience to look for that, yeah, beautiful, Shannon, yes, what is the treasure within the trauma? Exactly. It's, you know, where's the gold, where's the gift, where's the silver lining? You know, if we begin to look for that begins to have a different shift in our experience, and it allows us to get past it with more grace and with more ease.
Very much so, because it's now that I understand it as such, and wonderfully put, Sharon, as well, find the treasure within the trauma. Yeah, I mean, I've always thought, what did you learn from this lesson, sort of thing. But I'm glad that the lesson was learned, because it was a wild ride to get there. And even now I look back on it and go, with, I guess, the human experience, how did I come out of that? I mean, I didn't come out of it unscathed, but at the same time, we learn how resilient we are through those lessons. Yeah,
it's oftentimes a reminder for us to recognize that it's another way for us to, and this comes up all the time, that the challenges that we are facing and that we are drawing into our experience are to help us connect with our self more deeply and to recognize our sovereign power of divinity that exists within us. And I know that this is oftentimes hard even for me to understand and to accept. And I keep on talking about how my biggest issue right now seems to be my frustration that I experience with my mother, and how that continues to burden me. And I haven't been able to let go of that, or to work through it, or to release it, or whatever it is that needs to happen.
But I'm hearing Daniel, as you even say that, isn't that a lesson within itself?
And that's what I keep on going back to is, you know, I keep on trying to get myself to open up to, okay, if this is still part of my experience, what is this teaching me? And what I keep on hearing, you know, time and time again, is to remind me that there's always more to go into. There's still more for me to learn. There's still more for me to develop. And of course, I mean, I don't need the reminder because it's my personality. I'm always going to want to do that. And I think all of us have this innate desire to expand ourselves. I think that that's an innate part of our makeup.
For sure. And I think the best line of what I've heard, and I believe this wasn't no coincidence, even though jokingly I discovered this information, this knowledge through watching Tom Hanks on the round table with actors, which I found very insightful, but also funny at the same time, that everything shall pass. If you're having a wonderful time in life, enjoy it. Because at the end of the day, exactly right there, that word sadness could be around the corner. Yeah. Or grief of losing someone, or having to learn the lesson of separation being an illusion yet again in so many levels and so many elements of life. And it's interesting how we always say, oh, that's just a coincidence, when lo and behold, nothing really is. It's all in the frequencies of everything. Yeah, it's in the vibrations of everything. Even if it seems very funny at the time of going, why does that seem so insightful when it's being said by such a comedic actor? Or you're going, well, in some way, I guess Ascended Mastery is right there being channeled through them at the same time. Yeah.
And there's,
without them knowing it. Yeah.
You know, you bring something up in my mind, which is the idea that we are all evolving and everything is changing within our environment, and our planet is changing. Mother Earth is elevating her experience as well, which is driving all of us to follow suit. And there's an invitation that I love, which has put everything that I have believed about my experience of life, it challenges it. And I like being put in these positions, but sometimes it's a bit difficult. When we allow ourselves to expand our awareness into more of our spiritual alignment, it automatically heals everything. All of our wounds, emotional, physical, whatever the case may be, as we allow ourselves to tap into that innate well-being that is an integral part of who we are, we allow that well-being into our physical experience, and it automatically heals wounds. And I love that as a concept. Now, for years, I've been saying, we're human, we're in this human experience, we're going to suffer, we're going to struggle, we're going to have ups and downs. And to some degree, I don't think that's ever going to go away. But there's a shift in our relationship to that when we begin to connect with our higher self, more integrated with our human self. So that even though that, you know, our human might still feel sorrow, for example, my mother is old and she's going to pass away at some point. Inevitably, I'm going to feel sorrow at some point. But my relationship with that sorrow is very different now than it would have been 20 years ago. And now versus what would have been a month ago, because I'm expanding my understanding and I'm having a different relationship with life. And so you remind me of that, what you just said. And so I just wanted to kind of share that.
Definitely. And I think each time I don't think because it's being told to me through your higher self, because we're in your higher self today, it's the word evolve comes forward more. Each time, evolving is what we're doing, is what I'm hearing. Evolving is, I think, the most prevalent word for everything. I'm the experience. Okay, thank you, Sally. Yeah. But yeah, I just keep hearing the word evolve echoing in your higher self today.
Beautiful. And I think that we're all evolving. I mean, I think that this is, like I say, I think it's a natural part of our design, is to expand and to evolve, and that's what we're here for. I love Abraham Hicks in which is the book, am I gonna ask anything, ask and it is given. He talks about how we are at the forefront of existence, and I love that concept, and it took me a little while to understand what that meant. but that we are at the very edge of existence, and our purpose is to help with the expansion of consciousness by having experience, by creating new things, because we constantly create new things, new ideas. We experience new experiences all the time. And what that does is that it expands consciousness. And again, what that does for me is that it helps me to have a different relationship with life. So my sorrows and my frustrations with my mother, I don't take them as personally as I once did. I don't take them on as, oh my God, I'm broken. It's like, okay, so for whatever the reason, this still is an experience that is adding value to consciousness. And so this is what's still being present. And as I learn to evolve and expand beyond where I am, I'm hoping that I can experience the love and appreciation that I have for my mother while she's still alive, so she can benefit from that. But I also know that if that doesn't happen, that's okay too. And I'm okay with that. Hopefully she's okay with that too, though I know it's difficult to deal with me when I'm having my issues. And for whatever the reason, that's what felt like being said. So Sally adds, when you start to understand the reasons behind these experiences, it does seem easier, or for her at least. And I totally agree. I mean, a big part of what I do is help people understand how the mind works, how the system works, because that's been very helpful for me too. Absolutely agree with that. So Samuel, let me kind of turn it over to you. What would you like to share with us? What direction would you like this conversation to go into next?
I think it's, I'd like to introduce the Archangel Sandalphon. I think who works very closely with Archangel Gabriel, who I think a lot more people would be familiar with biblical scripture, both messengers. But today Archangel Sandalphon has presented themselves in your higher self to talk about music, to talk about the arts, as they are the archangel of communicating through the arts and the frequencies and vibrations that we know combine to give us that dopamine rush of happiness and so much more that we can go into scientifically, but at the same time, with the energetic spectrum that Sandalphon sends messages with, is what it what the energy wishes to produce today. And just a little bit of information as Sandalphon steps forward, for those who are not in the know of what archangel energy sort of is, it's, from what I've been gathering through my meditations recently, whilst talking to them, with Michael, Gabriel, Sandalphon, and so many others, it is predominantly more Arcturian, extraterrestrial DNA that we're speaking to. And it's interesting how the church has sort of brought it forward to being angel in labeling, but it's at the same time, as everything in the energetic spectrum, we need to label it as human, as the human experience. But as that, that is just some insightful knowledge to bring forward, I think.
I mean, I've been told through other conversations with spirit that the archangel energy or that space has never incarnated, that they're from a energetic space that's very close to source energy in a hierarchical standpoint, which again, I know spirit doesn't like us when we put hierarchy on things, but for us it's helpful to kind of put, to at least for me, to have some kind of structure. But the way that it's been described is that the energy of the archangels is very much aligned with and very close to source energy, for what that's worth.
But, well, that could be a question you could ask sound of him as he steps forward, I think.
And so question for you, are you going to be sharing your knowledge of music and how that relates with us as well? Or are you more interested?
Well, that depends. Do you wish me to
both? I think we've got just time for both.
This channel as I do sort of with the tarot readings, sort of like try and focus in as best possible.
Well, I think that I would love to do both, because what people don't realize is, and I didn't know this when I first met you, is that you have operatic training. And so music is a big part of your life.
And I do, yeah.
I know that Spirit has more than once reminded me through different conversations that I've had with people that music is a very easy way for us to reconnect with Spirit. So when we are down in the dumps or when we feel disconnected, a very easy way for us to connect is to put some music on, whatever feels inspiring for us. And so I would love to kind of get your thoughts on your experience of music and how that relates. And then we can use that when we go into the channel relationship and have, Sandraform speak to us directly. We have your experience as that.
Yeah. To answer Sally's question that she just wrote before we go on. Yes, Sally, it's on whenever I'm singing operatically or even with musical theatre pieces when busking these days, it seems to be that there's a lot more energy in the air of old, well, not old, but it seems that there's more energies that seem to be coming to me now, even as, well, it's not cliche, but even as quirky as it sounds, Elvis and his brother come to me now through channeling at the markets whenever I'm singing Unchained Melody or You'll Never Walk Alone from Carousel. And even Roy Orbison is stepping forward. Freddie Mercury has already stepped forward in our channeling, but he also stepped forward for a few songs as well. And various other energies, I'm sure that I'm not even aware of, step forward and channel through me. Because sometimes, or not sometimes, a lot of the times, I don't feel like it's my voice anymore. And it almost feels like a completely different voice compared to what I used to sound like a few months ago.
And so for the people that are not live, the question was, do you feel more connected when you're singing? And so this is
most definitely, because it almost even feels like my soul exits my body and someone else jumps in for a second, or even more, how long the song is and how long they want to channel through my voice. Yeah.
And so that's interesting. So as you're developing your skill in channeling and as you're becoming more proficient with it, it's happening more easily and more often in more natural ways. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Fantastically so, yes. Yeah, and it's sometimes a little bit freaky because I'm used to having, let's say, Freddie or Elvis step forward or his brother, Jesse. But when it's unexpected, it can be a little bit jarring because you're going, oh, I didn't mean to go that high, or I didn't mean to go up to a top F or something, which is a soprano note, but someone else must have jumped in by accident right there.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so, you know, given that we're kind of talking about this, can you talk to us a little bit about your musical journey and how music is allowing you and allows you to connect with your energetic self and your spiritual team?
Sure. It's helped me through the depressive energies of the lockdown of Melbourne, where we've had a very long sustained lockdown where people have had various opinions and judgments of the state government here because they don't want to observe their own selves, dare I say it, but that's all well and good for where they are on their journey. But at the same time, I do feel that even when I'm busking, that lifts the mood. because if someone's like walking past very briskly going, fuck the world, fuck me, and piss off you, you're pissing me off right there. You can see it from a mile away, but the minute you click, the minute the frequencies change, the minute the vibrations lift their heart from a song they knew years ago and you're singing it, you as Samuel is singing it, or Elvis is channeling through you. They don't know that, but they go, wow, that brings me back to my youth, or that brings me back to when I was a teenager. That's what you can see on their face. And you can feel it in their elements of their whole being as well, because they step forward and that aggressive pandemic bullshit disappears straight away. And that I said, the scientific response, I guess, is the dopamine levels rise, but at the same time, on the energetic response, it's the my frequencies have changed because we're connecting on a unified level for something that I remember in the past.
There's something magical about sound, and I don't remember the name of the Japanese scientist that was playing with freezing water and then looking at the way in which our thoughts, words would shift the way that the crystals would freeze. Thank you.
Yeah, I was reading something.
Thank you, Jeff. He also played within the experiments, he also played with music. So he would put on classical music and then he would freeze the water and then look at the water through a magnifying glass to look at the shape of the crystals, and do the same thing with other music. And though he was comparing heavy metal with classical, and that the heavy metal had a very dissonant image versus the classical was very colorful and pretty and synchronized and whatever, I don't necessarily want to create a distinction between one music and another, because I know my brother loves heavy metal and that lifts him up. You know, he has always loved heavy metal. The heavier, the better for him. And so everybody has a different response to music. So it's not about one music is better than another, but I do want to bring
this up. Oh, no, not at all. And that's exactly what, I think what Sandalphon will bring forward as well, because even through my meditations, I asked him that specific question. And he said, Samuel, you already know the answer to that. You already know that people have different tastes in music, and that's why my messages come forward in different ways, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so music is a very easy way for any of us to, and I'll just repeat this, it's an easy way for us to connect with our team and with our higher self when we are feeling that kind of disconnection. There's a magical quality that allows us to soften the perceptual difference and distance that we have, that allows our higher energy alignment to align better, to feel more connected. And so that, for me, that's what music does. And like I say, it's been something that it has been reminded to me by spirit on a number of occasions. Anything else you would like to share as Samuel?
Yes. Only the perspective of opera, I guess, because that's where my, observations lie with the musicality, even though I have observed how, of course, music, dance, R&B, rock, pop, in the working security in the nightclub influences people's moods as well. But that also can be liquid courage as well, sometimes, of course, with the alcohol and different narcotics going on in those sort of situations. But at the same time, you can observe the different frequency shifts. I think with those sort of type of music, with that sort of doof music, that brings back, I think, even some past life experiences with people, if that makes sense, because it's a frequency shift within itself.
It does make sense.
Making your body reconnect also with the chakra system, especially the root chakra, with moving your feet all night long at least. Yeah. But yeah, that's predominantly with opera. I found it very, like I said before, for myself, when I'm on stage, it's a very endorphin releasing experience, but also you're creating adrenaline if you're playing an operatic character, because you're having to sustain it for, well, with Verdi it would be a 3-hour long stint if you're a main character, but with Wagner, of course, with the German repertoire, it can go, when you're seeing the Ring, Das Nibling, it can go into the, which is the Ring cycle. It can go into anything from 5 hours to 6 hours if you're a lead character in that as well, and which in cases a very different set of frequencies, because at one moment you could be very having to internalize yourself. But then again, that's just characteristics. But at the same time, I always find when you're having to, as a tenor, you're that singing so up in the stratosphere for the male vocality that, as I've stated before, when you reach those top notes of a top B or a top C, or even sometimes I can get a top D on a good day, your soul lifts out of your body for that brief second. And if you can sustain it for however long you can, it just is heavenly, because it's just you bring yourself back down almost with a fluid motion after the note has escaped your mouth, after the frequency has escaped. And if it's being recorded, fantastic, because you're sending something out into the world that will be heard by millions to come. And hopefully radio stations pick it up and go, and this is Samuel Thomas Holland. He's dead now, but we can still listen to him. And have a great time doing it too. But yeah, it's that sort of impact that you want in the world when you're performing, because you're going, I hope I'm being recorded, even though if I'm not, you still know that you're giving something to the collective.
Yeah.
With the frequency levels.
No.
That you imparting from your own body. Yeah.
I want to shift gears a little bit, if it's okay, because the question that keeps on popping in my head.
Let's go off on a bit of a tangent there.
Let's hope. So Chiara's saying that let's hope that we can have you on the radio before you're dead. And I agree. Yeah. It would be amazing. But there's a question that I would like to ask you, and I don't know if this is something that you can ask from yourself or from your team, but why is it that all of these celebrities seem to come into your experience quite often? You know, you mentioned Freddie Mercury, you mentioned Elvis. I mean,
with Elvis and Freddie, they are both ascended masters for myself. I know that through my guides, because I've asked them in the past a similar question, and they said, well, they're ascended mastery, so that's why they're stepping forward to impart their own wisdom and their own frequencies to you. And even because I have a uniqueness of trans-channeling through audio ability, but also then now through meditation and through trans-channeling, I've been able to channel more through my voice than I was before. They've been stepping forward more in my voice and using their own frequencies to impart that. But at the same time, I think there's an element of letting go as well, things that were left unsaid, as I think as we know, there's an element that sometimes words can't be said, but music can be that last let go of, I can't say what I need to say, so I'll say it through song.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, putting a label on it here of me being a light worker, is what I should have come into this experience as Samuel for now. Mm. Now that I'm awakened to the point where I know that there's more to this than meets the eye. It's trying to bring forward the right frequency so that the message can be given without interference, I think. Yeah. And that just comes from practice. Yeah.
Now, are you familiar with the different hertz? There's a question that came in, or is that something that we should ask Sandiform when he comes forward?
I am, to an extent.
So the question is 432 hertz music the highest resonating frequency that you can obtain, or is that not necessarily true? Can you address that as Samuel, or
no. You can go a lot higher than that. Yeah. But it all depends on what you're wishing to achieve, I guess, from the hertz, because each different hertz produces a different outcome. Yeah.
So yeah. What I'm being reminded of is a message that the hertz is relevant to you at the moment in what you need and what's going to be helpful for you in that moment. And it reminds me of a time, I forget who it was that came forward during one of our practice sessions, where they were telling us what frequency was helpful for us. And they went through each of us and they gave specific frequency to each of us to listen to, because that was
going to expand. That might've been my friend who committed suicide, Jordan, or that could have been Robin Williams.
I think it was actually your twin flame.
Oh, Zoe. Yeah.
Zoe. It was Zoe, if I remember correctly. But anyway, pure brilliance. Let's ask that question to the Archangel when he comes forward. Mm. I think it'll be good to have that conversation with him.
Now, do we wish to trance channel Sandiform, or do we wish to just for me to just focus my attention somewhere else and bring him forward?
Up to you, whatever you're comfortable with.
I think trance channeling might be a bit more spot on.
Let's do that. So I'll give you a moment to do what you need to do. Is it okay if I share something as you're settling in? Yeah, beautiful. So what I wanted to share with you guys, for those of you that are kind of new to the whole channeling scene, there's an alignment that needs to take place between the entity that's coming in and ourselves. Others have talked about how they need to drop their vibration. We need to raise our vibration to find a place where we can meet. But there's also an element where the energy needs to assimilate and find a balance within our specific energy makeup, our auric field. And so there's an alignment process that takes place. And as we get more comfortable with these energies, that process becomes faster, it becomes easier. And also the way that it affects each of us is a little bit different. For those of you, Shannon is present with us today. And for those of you that experienced her session yesterday, after she finishes a trans-channeled experience, it takes her a while to get back into her body. There's others that come out of their trans-channel experience and just basically take a deep breath and they're back and they're perfectly, quote unquote, normal in their grounding. Others take a little bit of time. And so it depends. I've worked with, like I say, Samuel is part of my practice group. So I've worked with him and I know that I know how he works. I know what he kind of goes through. What you're seeing and what you're seeing on video is oftentimes part of his alignment, or the energies as they align with him, they oftentimes will go through his mouth. They'll move his mouth. They'll open his mouth broadly and move his tongue. So there's different things that they do to connect with his physical body as well as his energetic self. And so this is part of the process, and everybody has a slightly different process. So I just wanted to give a little bit of detail of that while we are experiencing Samuel and this angelic energy, as that angelic energy comes into his body and aligns with his body so that they can communicate with us through that body. So thank you for giving me that space. Are you with us, or do you still need a little more time? Take your time, no hurry. And so what Shannon is sharing here is that it took me a few hours to have my communication between thought and speech, even with processing, to type full sentences. If I did only one entity, it would have been a bit easier on the return, but three took turns. Yeah, so yesterday we had, so three of Shannon's team came forward and spoke to her. And so that created a lot of shift within her energy, and it took her a while to reconnect with that and sort it out and align it as it is. And so one of the things that other people will say, for example, Renee and Anthony, if you remember, or if you haven't seen theirs, what they will do a lot of times is they will invite everybody that's present to take a deep breath and to hold hands and to connect into a space of love. And that's part of their process that helps them to align with the energy of the group. Because that's another thing that the Archangel is doing, is not only aligning with the energy of Samuel, he's also aligning with our energy collectively. And oftentimes Archangel energies are quite strong and quite powerful. And it takes a lot to shift and adjust. And so in order to help with this transition, given that this is taking a little bit of time, I would love for all of us present, both in the recording and live, to just take a deep breath, allow yourself to relax, allow your mind to settle. Allow yourself to expand in your awareness, connecting with yourself, feeling into that space of love that exists within you and within all of us. Allowing your energy to go down into Mother Earth, into her core. Having that energy brought back up through you and extending beyond you up into Father Sky. Take a deep breath and allow that energy to expand outwards, including and incorporating everything that is, allowing yourself to connect with that oneness that exists within us and around us.
Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
It is wonderful to be here.
It is an honor to have you in our presence. We appreciate you stepping forward.
The honor is mine.
And so for the benefit of the listeners, can you talk a little bit about your journey of connecting with Samuel in terms of what that was like for you?
I have connected with the one you call Samuel over many pasts. He has already indicated his past existence with the prophet, with the clairvoyant you know as Nostradamus. Samuel back then was the student. He is yet the student once more, but regaining his gifts from that past that is still happening as we speak. I came to him in his meditations in death's existence. As I have in multiple of his incarnations. But I am with everyone. For I have, like the Creator, given pieces of myself to everyone in the collective that is on Gaia.
And that brings up a question that my friend and I were talking about, which was this idea of helping us understand what is archangel energy. And there's different terms that people have used for that. And given that we have you with us, if you could help us understand that, that would be beautiful.
You understand, as this vessel has already taught you, about ascended masters. We are them. But in a much more, as your human experience would understand it, magical way to put a label where it is needed. For we are the birds, we are the rivers, we are the rocks. So hence we are the frequencies and the vibrations of what we need to be. And what you need as the human experience to bring forward everything you need. We are the messengers, the ones who are silent, but who are always there. We are always there in your despair and in your happiness. All these emotions are yet frequencies, unfathomable by yourself, but known by us completely.
So there was a question earlier when we were talking about music, because I know that one of the things that you wanted to come and talk to us about was music. There was a question about 432 hertz being the highest resonating frequency that we can obtain, or is that not necessarily true? And I know that you heard Samuel's response to that question, but I was wondering if there's something that you would like to add.
No, this vessel has already stated what It is learned. If you wish to learn more, there is always the chance just to call upon me and Gabriel, for we are always there. And it is your own journey for each piece of ourselves that is within you needs a different hertz, frequency, vibration to move forward. And as this vessel has already stated, evolve into where you are wishing to be, where you are needing to be, where the collective needs you to be.
And what role can music play within that process?
It brings forward the past, brings forward the present, and what you deem to be the future is still the present. But then we look back and we see the frequencies of either trauma or happiness. These are the same messages that Gabriel and myself deliver. Some frequencies may disturb, but this is just yet another message of the lesson that needs to be learned, to go within, to find why this frequency disturbs us so much. But then, on another vibrational note, pasts can also create joy that can be observed with unfathomable love, for with everything being love.
Thank you for that.
These frequencies can be obtained always from within.
And so there's a couple questions in pure brilliance. I'm going to come back to your question, hopefully a little bit later on. But Shannon asks, how can we utilize the, she greets you, by the way, how can we utilize the various forms of music to shift collective human creative energy for a better result than we are seeing in action currently? Is there a recommended form over others?
Intention. Intentions leading into where we want to be in the collective. But at the same time, we need to remember that we cannot control. We can only merely shift and observe. But trust, as almost with a prayer, that my message through music, through your harmonies, through your own frequencies, as you, will be delivered to another. For I am the messenger, as a pigeon would have been the messenger during the war, that in tone was my frequency also. Any messenger you see, being it the tidal waves of the sea, that is still a message if you observe it and not react to its ferocity.
So if I'm understanding correctly, and please adjust me accordingly. As we listen to music, the intention that we put into that can have a shift on the collective experience, if that's the intention that we want to put to it. And or if we create music, if we happen to be musicians, naturally the intention we have within the creation of the music can help shift the human creative energy for a better result. Is that, am I understanding you correctly?
That is so. For each vibration that each come into the collective with, be it musician, be it dancer, everything is vibration. Everything is frequency. And every piece that I observe, I am thus the messenger with Gabriel for its transference to another. For you do not understand how you touch so many with such little. For it is our messages that when received, jog a memory that was unforeseen until that frequency was activated and the message from you to that other individual or the collective is received in both air, fire, water, and earth. Or even the whirlwinds that you see around you are me giving you a message that you are never alone in the frequencies of everything.
Are you okay if I ask you some personal questions from some of the listeners? Yeah, beautiful. So there was a question, if you can speak to Michael Jackson's journey on Earth. There was a question about his quest here to help awaken the collective consciousness and the disturbance of the powers that be to try and suppress our truth and unlimited potential and his death and the whole journey. Is there something that you can share about his journey and the role that he played in our collective existence?
Michael was an ascended master in his own right, but he brought forward a lot of lessons and thus forward took many more pieces of me when he emerged into his life as Michael Jackson. Where normally I would give three pieces to each person, each human.
And I understand
with Michael, this is, I gave 10.
Metaphorically speaking, just so that people understand that this is metaphorically speaking three pieces, just as a reference.
Exactly. But as I have already stated, Michael's messengers were my own, but he sent it back to where we are. And I transcribed it to the collective. More than what we know. You know you are never alone. And as each message from Michael came down, the collective fear dissipated. For you can see through music, through frequencies of any music, it touches your heart and the frequencies of that soul. Goes into the vibrations of your whole entire being.
And Kera mentions that this is why songs like Heal the World are so powerful.
Exactly.
Exactly what you were just referring to.
But what message is it truly giving? More than healing the world, but healing all of us, as well as Gaia.
Again, the reminder that as we heal ourselves, we influence more than just our physical experience, but the entire collective, both on the planet and beyond.
And it all comes back to the frequencies and vibrations of what we are. For so many of us have forgotten. But that is why I and so many are here to remind. Even if we are not observed, we are always silently there.
And can you speak a little bit more to that? What specifically do you mean about reminding us who we are?
We are in the frequencies of your pets, your dogs, your cats. We are in the frequencies of numbers, the synchronicities. We are the screech of the train, the honk of the horn. Everything you hear around you is us and the messages that we give.
And speaking of messages, we know that Shannon asks, and I'll get back to the question from Casey, I haven't forgotten you. Shannon asks, we know that our guides and loved ones in spirit will often use music to send us messages. Is it easier to get the human attention to receive the messages with music, or is it just as difficult as any other message form?
Predominantly, the frequencies of music are the easiest ways to convey the message, yes. Read what has already been stated. Sometimes the frequencies of speaking your truth can come across too harsh. But through music, the frequencies still are true. But the message is less than when spoken. For the undercurrents of a bass line, or the timpani, or violins, if you're wishing to listen to an orchestra, or the vocal line of the frequencies of the message, are always given more accurately. Than the spoken word. For I even am in the frequencies of poetry on the written page. But with dance and with music, tears fall. And lessons are learned more accurately and acutely.
Thank you for sharing that. And on a similar direction, is it possible to channel when learning or relearning a musical instrument? And what is the guidance regarding Casey relearning piano and then channeling her late partner's music that he created but never recorded? So two parts to that question.
Meditation is key. Well, this is where you will find me. And the messages that you seek will be given. But there is always a rush. So remember, each message is a lesson within itself. Have you completely learned that lesson? Or do you need to relearn it before moving forward? And the vibrations to heighten your frequency of relearning and gaining the message that is needed.
Hopefully that's helpful, Casey. And there was a question about the frequencies of music in terms of utilizing them to regenerate or rejuvenate cells and DNA. Can you speak to that?
This comes down to belief. As with such modalities as Reiki, belief is paramount. But at the same time, evidence can be shown in what you call scientific means. For the sound, as I have already stated, the frequency of the past is always in the future, is always in the present. So that is already where we are. We are merely catching up with ourselves on Gaia. And rewiring our frequencies to match our vibrations. But I am always the messenger. I am always the message that you need. For I am more than you need.
So on that note, I'm aware of the time, and we do have a little bit more time, so there's no immediate rush, but I would love to give you the platform to share what you came here to share with us that hasn't already been said.
There was a question by you, Daniel. Or have we incarnated before? Not many of us have, but I have myself. If you research Elijah, that was me centuries ago. I was deemed a prophet of sorts, but I was merely using my ascended mastery to help the collective. Just as much as Jesus did when he came. But at the same time, you will understand why I reference the whirlwind. once I am researched in that vessel.
Sorry to interrupt your thought. Can you talk about what music universally unlocks in all of us? Which is the subject that you wanted to speak to.
Music defines, as we know, in frequency. As you know, I am the messenger of both dance and music. What it unlocks in the collective is that of the creator itself. For each time we listen to any point of music, it presents happiness, sadness, belittlement, or any other emotion that is still the frequency and the vibration of the collective being. This is the telepathy of the creator, the telepathy of everything that is. And this is what unlocks within you, for you are reminded of home. You are reminded of everything that you push aside when music comes to you, when the messages that I send with Gabriel come to you, when the protection of Archangel Michael comes to you also, in your fear. It is a glimpse of what we are, what we always are. For music is the creator, and the creator unlocks us all through music and sends messengers such as myself to remind you of such. Even though the lessons of doubt and free will come into equations, that is where my messages come back to the equation. But even though you doubt, you cannot deny that there is something divine when you hear any type of music. For it stirs a longing inside of you that you have forgotten. A longing for home. But also a knowledge driven by the message that I deliver. That you have agreed to be here on Gaia. Until your time has come. Which it inevitably will. But until then, the frequencies of music, all music, is our glimpse of home.
Is that why? Is that why our spirit teams will frequently remind us and talk to us about how music allows us to connect?
Precisely.
Because it reminds us at a deep level who we are without our conscious.
Why do you perceive that sometimes music can make you cry? in such a way. It is thus my message, but at the same time, what are you remembering when this message is received? I leave to you to observe next time this event happens. Observe what you're feeling. And if you can visualize it, as most of you can, observe in your clairvoyance. The echoes of where you have come from, for I will deliver the message more accurately and acutely next time.
Which would be specific to the individual, correct?
Precisely.
So as we get, and again, I'm just going to reiterate what I understood you just say, when we feel an emotional connection with a piece of music, as we allow ourselves to go deeper within that experience, it makes it possible for you to share information with us that's relevant and pertinent for us at that point in time. Is that correct?
Yes, but there is more. But it would not make sense, as it is entanglement of energy and fluidity. That rewires where we have been to where we are going, but always at the same time reminding us that there is more than ourselves. Even if we don't believe, there is still that nudge from my message. That keeps you on track.
Beautiful. Thank you very
much.
That
keeps your vibration aligned.
So I'm going to be inviting our friend back shortly. Is there a parting message that you would like to leave us with?
Yes. Now we have met. I ask you all today who are observing, observe everything around you more closely, and you will see me in the birds, in the water, in every element that you see around you. For I am there to help you, not hinder. In my messages, dear ones, and raise your frequency so we may enter the new earth together. For we have been waiting for Gaia to regain her fifth dimensional qualities for a very, very long time. And we are always with you, no matter what you believe. It has been a pleasure to be here. And as Samuel returns, know that there will be messages to you all.
Thank you for being
in the coming weeks and months and forever.
Thank you for being with us, for your guidance and your constant support. Shannon says it beautifully. Great gratitude, Sandalphon, for your message and answering our questions. We appreciate the time that you shared with us. Welcome back.
Well, okay. How was that?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how are you? That energy must have been pretty strong.
It was.
Take your time. Let me know when you're ready.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm back. Yeah.
You're back. Cool. So thank you for that. I don't know if I'm quite back yet. And so I wanted to spend a little bit of time. I know that we're kind of reaching the end of the hour and a half, but I wanted to spend a little bit of time just having you invite people to connect with you and engage with you. The offer that we have for you, and the free offer is a free tarot reading, and to reach out to you via your website, which is oracleintheReflection.today.
That's the one.
And the special invitation that we have is a discount that you're offering the listeners of this event for a channeled session or a longer tarot reading. Mm-hmm. And so information is in the website, as always, in the special invitation link. But I wanted to give you the opportunity if there's anything else that you wanted to add about that.
Sorry, what was the question?
If there's anything else that you would like to add.
No, I think what's been said today has covered a lot of topics here.
Beautiful. All right. I'm just being told that the link to connect with you doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. So I'll have to play with that afterwards.
Did I give you too many A's in the website menu?
It's not you. It's something in my platform or something that I didn't do in the coding of the links. So.
Okay.
I'll need to kind of look at that. So thanks for letting me
know. Either way, go to the website. That might just be easier. Yeah.
Yeah. So
www.oracleintheReflection.today. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to oracleintheReflection.today, reach out to Samuel. Let him know that you're coming in from the Channeling Spirit Virtual Summit, and he will take care of you.
So Daniel, someone wrote a message just then. Just wanted to hold space or something, she said.
Yeah, so Shannon is saying, just want to take a moment to say thank you for holding space for each speaker, as it is a lot of energy to work with when someone is channeling and trans-channeling. Bravo on all the work and energy investment in putting this together for this initial event and for the future ones. Thank you, Shannon. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. So, go ahead, Shannon. And so what I'm going to be inviting us to do is, as soon as we finish off with Samuel, I'm going to keep this link active. I'm going to ask you guys if you want to take a short kind of bathroom break and come back in 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And then I'll go into a closing ceremony with you guys. Or if we want to go straight into the closing ceremony, I will leave that up to you guys. And Shannon is sharing something for you, Samuel. Just give her a little bit of time to type it. Okay. Thank you, pure brilliance. I appreciate it. Happy to have been able to create this for you guys. So the message from Shannon is beautiful trans-channeling, as well as being open in your adventure with spirit. It is always a roller coaster ride, so just let go and love the way it takes you.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you, Shannon. Anything that you would like to finish with, Mr. Samuel, before we bring my conversation with you to an end.
I think as I always leave it, what have we learned today? What have we forgotten that we have relearned today, maybe, is always a good way of ending. Yeah.
It's a good way to kind of reflect on, you know, what have I gotten out of this conversation that I am relearning? Beautiful. So thank you guys for being here. I'm going to stop the recording of this conversation shortly, but like I said, I'm going to keep the line active because I'm going to go straight into the closing ceremony. So give me 1 second off the recording. Thank you guys for being here with us, and I will see you in the recording wise shortly with the with the closing ceremony, but everybody else, just hang on with me. Thank you for being part of this incredible experience. We hope that this session has inspired a new level of understanding within you, allowing you to expand more easily into the essence of your true self and become an even more powerful alchemist in your own life. We invite you to listen to the session again and again in order to go deeper each time and expand even more. Have it be via the replays or the unlimited access package. If you have enjoyed being part of this event, we invite you to tell your friends so that they can join us in the future. We are grateful that you are here, and we thank you for co-creating this experience with us. Until next time, we leave you with being spirit, being human, and simply being from love.